Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to Jesus, "Master, show us the Father. That will be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "If I've been with you for so long a time, and still you do not know me, Philip. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do these works I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything of me in my name, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
In these last couple days, we have been focusing on the relationship that Jesus has with the Father and that we have with Jesus and in Jesus with the Father. He said that the one who receives us receives him and receives the Father who sent him, and the one who rejects us rejects the Son and the Father too. That's because we go out not just as external messengers, as extrinsic followers. We go out in communion. That is what the church is, and each of us is a personal embodiment of the church. We are his mystical body, and we are in communion with him. So therefore, in rejecting us, they do, in a quasi-ontological way, reject him. Because of his communion with the Father, reject likewise the Father. It's one of the reasons why it's so important for us to go out, therefore, so that they have a chance to be able to contact God. Jesus yesterday, at the beginning of this passage, referred to the path to the Father as the Son. There's no shortcut, there's no roundabout. It's to Jesus and through Jesus. The Jews had been praying for centuries, "Teach me your ways, O Lord." And Jesus was saying, "I am the way. Teach me your precepts so that I may walk in your truth." And Jesus was saying, "I am the truth." "Show me the path of life," they exclaimed in the song. Jesus was saying, "I am the life." Jesus was the fulfillment of all their aspirations. And as we saw what St. Paul did in this sermon in the synagogue of Antioch and Pisidia, he was starting with the aspirations of everybody and showing Jesus as the fulfillment. And Jesus has been describing himself as that incarnation of all their aspirations. Their biggest was to see the Father. Remember what happened when Moses was up at the top of Mount Sinai. He couldn't see God face to face. He could only see the back of him when God was passing by. The vision of God was the great prayer of the Psalms. Faciam tuum requiram Domine, Psalm 27, the motto of the religious life. I want to see your face, O Lord. This great hunger to see God's face. And then Jesus was saying, "You've seen God's face in me. You've seen the face of the Father." Philip didn't get it. Most people wouldn't have gotten it because it was so far beyond their understanding. If you know me, you'll also know my Father. You do know him, and you've seen him. Master, show us the Father. That will be enough for us. Basta. We can do our nunc dimittis. It would be over. Whoever has seen me, Philip, has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Jesus was the Father's face. He was the incarnation of that merciful gaze that the Jews had always been looking for. Similarly, when we are sent out, we're supposed to be a little bit of the face of Jesus. They've said this about many of the saints over the course of time. The easiest for me to remember is St. John Vianney. When they saw him, they saw God in a man, so his contemporary said. And likewise with so many of the others, they see a spark of God. Our habits, our priestly clericals, are meant to be something that prepares them to see God. And then by the way that we behave, they're able to see a glimpse. That's the point. And that's why our hypocrisy, our failure to show that face, our becoming just like everybody else with everybody else's temper and everybody else's selfishness is so much more severe, because they've been trained to want to look to those who represent God, to see the characteristic loving face of God. But if that weren't enough, Jesus goes beyond that when he says that he is going to the Father precisely to bring our prayers to the Father so that others may be able to see the Father in us. He says that the words he speaks reveals the Father, and the works he does reveal the Father. And our words and our works are supposed to be similarly evocative. Jesus said, amazingly, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do and greater ones than these. Because he's going to the Father. If we ask anything in his name to the Father, Jesus will bring that prayer to the Father. At Jesus' times, we know the miracles he did. What would be the greater ones? Could be greater in a sense of quantitative extension, that it's going to happen throughout the world. But I like to think that all Jesus' miracles that he himself worked, the exorcisms, the healing of the crippled men or the blind men or those with withered hands or those who couldn't speak or those who were epileptic, etc., lepers. Those works were all a prelude to a far greater work he was doing, which was the redemption of the world. And so he has given the church the capacity to go forth with sacraments to bring God from heaven to earth, to forgive sins in his name, to prepare people for heaven, to bring his love out as the great sign, as the great manifestation to all those who are in need. Jesus is going to the Father to pray for these miracles. You know, a few weeks ago we celebrated Divine Mercy Sunday, and when we look at the promises that Jesus gave there, they're pretty strong. Jesus says when we pray the chaplet, if we ask anything in his name, the Father will hear it. It pleases him to reward anything that's asked of him through the chaplet. Likewise, at the hour of mercy, when we stop at 3 p.m. and we ask at that moment by the merits of Jesus' passion for something in accord with God's will, God will do it. That's why it's important for us, I think, to be praying for an end to the coronavirus at 3 o'clock. If New York is shut down at 7 p.m. to bang pots and pans out of grateful appreciation for our medical personnel, how much more important it is for the church to stop at 3 and not bang cymbals, but implore the Lord for an end to this and for all those intentions. We prayed this morning in that collect for the new Mass at time of pandemic. God is glorified this way, and it's through those works that not we're lifted up as an intercessor, but God shines. This mystery of the church is going on out to be accepted or rejected is what we're seeing in the Acts of the Apostles. Saints Paul and Barnabas had really done something spectacular that first Sabbath in the synagogue. The next, the whole town was gathered. In other words, it should have been a time of incredible unity. The Jews, when they saw the huge crowds, including all those Gentiles, not just the God-fearers, the few who believed and lived by the Mosaic Law, who had not been circumcised, who in a sense gave a little bit of pride to the Jews that even the Gentiles would appreciate how wonderful the gift of God's law is that they lived by. Now everybody was coming, and they thought that their distinctiveness would be lost. And so they were filled with envy and with violent abuse, began to contradict Paul. They were rejecting him, and they were rejecting the one who sent him and the salvation he had come to bring into the world. They were rejecting the Father. So as a sacramental sign, hopefully to bring about their conversion, he wiped off the dust from his feet, just as Jesus had said in the instructions when he first sent out the 12 and the 72. Began to proclaim fearlessly to the Gentiles. Just a few days ago that we saw what happened in Antioch, the other Antioch, where Paul and Barnabas, after these Cyrenians and Cypriots had brought the gospel there, started to focus on the Gentiles head on. This was another instance of it, so that what we prayed in the Psalms could come to fulfillment. All the ends of the earth have seen the saving power of God. And just like the prophet Isaiah, whom St. Paul quotes here, I have made your light to the Gentiles, just like Daniel, just like Ezekiel, just like Jeremiah, had all said that God's salvation would be taken to everybody, not just to the Jews. That was starting to occur here. And this violent crowd was whipped up against Paul to drive him and Barnabas from their city. This mystery of acceptance or rejection, the great joy on the behalf of the beautiful word here, disciples after a week, disciples who weren't watering down the term, but who had embraced that gift so deeply that they would now be totally characterized by it. The disciples were filled with joy in the Holy Spirit even after Paul and Barnabas had been kicked out because they were focusing on what they had. They now knew the gift of salvation. They had seen, through Paul and Barnabas, the Son and the Father, and they were rejoicing. Far greater joy there than what they were losing, Paul and Barnabas, who needed to go on to Lycaonia and Derbe. Mystery of acceptance and rejection. Tomorrow, as you know, we mark Father's Day, and the great battle that we as the Church are in and that you are on the front lines is this great battle of acceptance versus rejection. And one of the roots of that whole battle is that people do not see the sacramental significance of every human being. That when you're looking at an ultrasound, you're not just seeing a developing child, you're seeing a child made in the image of God. And that in seeing this new being, we're supposed to be seeing the one whose essence is his existence, a little spark of the great I am. It's important for us to return to this sacramental sense of all of reality, that everything points back to the one who created us all. Today, as we celebrate this Mass, we ask for the grace to be able to receive Jesus at the depth with which he wants to, and in beholding him, the Lamb of God, who has come to take away our sins, to see the Father who sent him with that saving mission.